the only way to have true intimacy is to be vulnerable with other people, which means you have to be comfortable telling them the truth, which is what learning how to build boundaries does for you. It teaches you, first of all, what is my truth? And then how do I share it with other people?
Hi, I'm Barb Nangle. I want to welcome you to my podcast, Fragmented to Whole, Life Lessons from 12-Step Recovery, where I help people heal their emotional, psychological, and spiritual wounds and make deep, lasting changes in their lives. I'm the founder and CEO of Higher Power Coaching and Consulting. I'm a boundaries coach who specializes in helping women who are focused on what others are thinking and doing and neglect themselves in the process. And I have coached hundreds of people on how to build healthy boundaries using my exclusive BUILD framework. On this podcast, I share my experience, strength, and hope from recovery. I don't support or endorse any particular 12-step recovery fellowship, and I don't claim to speak for any particular 12-step fellowship. I also don't believe that 12-step recovery is the only way to recover. You might need additional help. I'm an avid beachcomber who collects sea glass, shells, wood, and stones. I am a formerly closeted fan of the Hallmark Channel, especially the Christmas movies. Hello, Christmas in July. I wear fingerless gloves from September to June because my hands are always cold, so I have about 15 pairs. And I get a huge kick out of counting how many days, weeks, and months there are until my birthday or Christmas at completely random times of the year. My hope is that you'll find my words concretely helpful in improving your life, whether you're in recovery or not. If you like what you've heard on this episode, please screenshot it and share it on your social media and tag me at Higher Power Coaching.
This is episode 261 with guest client Nancy. So I am doing something I have never done before, which is I am recording a live coaching call with a client who volunteered. I put out a call to action in one of my recent episodes because I came up with the idea of coaching people and recording it so other people can hear what it's like. And Nancy was the first volunteer. I do have two more folks who signed up. My plan is to do a little mini series of three episodes in a row where I am coaching people on whatever it is they want to be coached on. And then, of course, after those three episodes, we'll go back to the typical Barb solo episodes on specific topics. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Nancy. Thank you so much for volunteering to be vulnerable with me and to allow this to be recorded.
Oh, you're welcome, Barb. I'm excited. You've been really a great guidance for me for about 2 years now. So I've been listening to you. And yeah, I was excited when you put the call out. I was like, oh, that would be a fun thing to do since I'm an ACOA and I've been working the promises. And April, the promise is to be about intimacy. And I thought, well, you got to get vulnerable. So here we go.
Absolutely. The only way to have true intimacy is to be vulnerable with other people, which means you have to be comfortable telling them the truth, which is what learning how to build boundaries does for you. It teaches you, first of all, what is my truth? And then how do I share it with other people?
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. So I know you had said to me you had a couple of different scenarios, and I think you wanted to start first with codependency with coworkers. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So what's going on?
I've been working at this job for the past, just over 2 years. The first person I met here was a woman who's a little bit younger than me. Let's say a lot a bit younger than me. And at that point, I just may have realized my ACOA traits and my oversharing traits. But this person became very codependent on me. Where are you going to lunch? What are you doing? What, always in my business about everything. And then the opportunity presented itself for me to get a little bit of advancement and work. And she became very nasty to me.
Ooh.
Yeah, she would say really mean things like, I work in a photo department. So the opportunity presented to become a photographer or start training. So she just said to me, well, we'll see what happens when you have to do all the reshoots. And I was blown away. And what I do when someone hurts my feelings like that, or what I'm working on not doing anymore, is I stonewall them and I don't speak to them.
Okay. So you've said a number of things that I would like to comment on. One was she became codependent on me. So that's not a thing. Codependent requires two parties. You also said that you've done a lot of oversharing. So my guess is that you overshared, which basically opened the door to her or opened the gate. I use a metaphor often in my coaching, not often, all the time. In my coaching, where having a boundary is like having a fence with a gate in it, and the gate opens only from the inside. In other words, if someone is trampling on your property, it's because you let them in. So you opened the gate for her. And if she keeps asking you all these things and you keep answering, then she's going to keep asking. So learning how to build healthy boundaries and set boundaries with people is where you say things like, you know, I'm not sure what would work for you, but something like, you know, I'm not really comfortable sharing with you every day what I'm doing for lunch. I don't mind from time to time, but not every day. Something like that. And then you also said that your pattern when people hurt your feelings is such and such. So people don't actually hurt our feelings. It's the way that we interpret. It's the perspective we take on what they do and say that hurts our feelings. So let me give you an example. I bet this has happened to you. I know it's definitely happened to me and most people I know. Somebody you don't particularly like says something to you and it pisses you off. And then someone that you really admire says the same thing and it doesn't even bother you. And maybe you go, huh, they have a point. That's a perfect example of it's not what was said, it's who said it. In other words, you decide, I have a framework for this person. It must mean XYZ. So it's the way that you interpret it. Now, of course, there are certain things that people can say that are always going to be clear, like they're trying to hurt me. But I love Brooke Castillo from the Life Coach School. She gives this example. It's so perfect because everybody can understand it. Let's say you do not have blue hair and somebody says to you, Nancy, your hair is blue. Like you wouldn't care because you know it's not true. But if they say something like, Nancy, you're being selfish. If you have an inkling of an idea that you might be a selfish person, you're going to feel some kind of way about it, right? So other people can't make us feel things. It's our interpretation of it. So if I were you in that case, I would say something like, if she said, let's see how many reshoots, I would say something like, what do you mean by that? Right? To let her explain, because that's not really a confrontation. You're going at it with curiosity. And I think curiosity is one of the most important tools that we can use because it's neutral. If you go into it saying, what the fuck do you mean by that? Or like, why would you say that like that? Or what's the matter with you? You're coming at it as a confrontation and there's conflict is much more likely to ensue. But when you come at things with curiosity, like, I'm intrigued. Why would you say that? You know, what's going on there? So that you're dealing with the situation head on. Does that make sense?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. How is the stonewalling part working for you?
Not really well.
Oh, I'm shocked. Yeah, I'm shocked.
Me too. Yeah. It never works. Since that time, my area where I work has been moved. I've been given my own area to work in rather than a shared work area. And through listening to people like you and some of my other favorite podcasts and IFS therapy, I've learned to advocate for myself. And I have the opportunity to move up the ladder a little bit here and continue training to be a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
The stonewalling thing, I have to work with this person. So now our boss, our leader, he tells me, like, you need to go over and speak with her and ask her what she needs help with today. So I do that. And I keep us on a very work level. I believe, from my perspective, because that's the only perspective I have, that she is starting to respect that boundary that I've put in place, because she had asked me something regarding something personal. And I just said, oh, I don't have any time for that discussion today. I've got to get back and do some other things. So instead of being nasty or saying that's none of your business, I'm learning to give adult commentary, which it's hard.
Do you want to have a conversation with this woman, or are you okay with things the way they are?
I am very okay with the way things are at this time. It's more, you know, coworker being on the same level. Yeah, it's much better than getting back into having us both overshare with each other. It's too much. Like you said, it becomes a codependent relationship, and I don't need a codependent relationship.
Yeah. So a tip I have for you for the future, so that this doesn't happen again, is that the moment that you feel uncomfortable, either with how much they're sharing or how much you're sharing, you say something about it. And it can be as simple as, you know what? I'm starting to feel uncomfortable about this. Sometimes you don't have any more detail than that. I know for me, just starting with, I'm uncomfortable. And if they say why, and you know why, then you can say why. But if you don't, you can say, you know, I'm not sure. I just don't. You know, I'm just not comfortable right now. If I figure that out, I'll let you know. But I think I'm going to stop sharing right now. So the tip is to say something, but also another tip is do it immediately, because it doesn't get easier when you wait. I always used to wait for the right moment. The right moment is now. Maybe the right moment was when you met them, but that moment has passed. That's like they say the best time to plant a tree was 30 years ago. The next best time is today, right? So the best time to set a boundary with someone was right when you meet them, but the next best time is today. So you set the boundary as soon as possible. And what that does is it's respectful to them because you're telling them right away and you get peace of mind. It may be difficult in the moment, but that momentary difficulty is going to end rather than dragging out maybe days, weeks, months of difficulty of just being like, oh my God, you know, I can't, when am I going to have this conversation with them? So you're going to have difficulty, but it's going to be brief and finite difficulty if you do it right now, but it's going to be like extended and excruciating difficulty if you don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Like ripping the Band-Aid off. Just do it quick. Get it over with.
Yes, just get it over with, you know? Mm-hmm. And the other thing I will say that's been super helpful to me. So let's say you decided, I do want to have a conversation with this woman. My guess is that it would be a difficult conversation. And do you know about the concept of bookending? I learned about that in recovery, right? So a really a typical brief bookending is almost like accountability. Like I'm going to text you before I go to the gym and after, right? But then a really complex way when it comes to boundary setting or really difficult conversations is to connect with someone who is caring and supportive and not emotionally connected to the situation before you have the difficult conversation. You talk to them, you bounce your ideas off of them. Now, this is your boundary or your conversation. You get to make the decisions, but it's not a bad idea to get input from someone who's not emotionally involved. So you can say, like, I was thinking of saying this. I wanted to do it in person. I was going to do it, you know, Monday after lunch, or I was going to do it via email. And they give you their feedback. And then the day that you're going to do it, you connect with that person right before you go and set the boundary. Number one, they help you process your difficult emotions. That is the number one reason why people either let go of boundaries or cave on them. And two, they're going to affirm you and say, you're doing the right thing, Nancy. You deserve to do this. You are not a bad person. And when you've done that, you're so much less likely to go in there with launching your difficult emotions at the target of your boundary, because you know somebody somewhere knows what I'm doing, what I'm going through, and they support me. And then you set your boundary, or you have your difficult conversation. And then this is where the bookending comes in. You reconnect with this healthy, supportive other person. And again, you process your difficult emotions with them. If you have them, if things went well, then you can celebrate with them. And if things didn't go so well, then they can again reaffirm you and say, you did the right thing. You deserve to have this conversation. You are not a bad person. You've established your ground, so to speak. You've established your boundary. So if you ever get to the point where you really feel like, I need to talk to this person, then I recommend that you do that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So I think you had another scenario that you wanted to talk about too. Is that true?
Yes, another coworker who, before I realized that she had already created a toxic environment for herself, I let her, once again, the boundaryless Nancy, let her dump. She would dump on me. And to the point where I was like, I got to go back to work, lady. You got to stop, you know? And it would trigger parts of me. Some of the things she would say would get me triggered or get me angry at another person that I don't even know. And kind of like, you know how when someone tells you what their version of the story is or their version of that person is, and then you carry that with you before you even know the whole truth or your truth. So you've made your decision. Then I noticed all of a sudden that these other women were not speaking to me, and I didn't really even know them. And I'm like, wait a minute, this has got to have something to do with this toxic work environment that I can see now, eyes wide open, that she's created. So I spoke with my therapist about it, and he said, try the old, you know what? Your hair looks great today when she starts dumping on you. Or how are the grandkids? Or the nice, friendly things. And then she would always shoot it down and go back to the dumping on me and dumping and dumping. And I'm like, look, finally, I'd be like, I got to go. I have work to do, you know, and just start walking away while they're still talking at you. And I felt very unbalanced relationship. And it got so bad that we had some drama here at work. Long story short, some people got money, got a raise, some people didn't. And then these women who she told me she didn't like recruited her. And I told her, I said, I believe you're being scapegoated. Be careful. She would not listen. She kept on sending me like text messages. Can you come to my desk and read this letter I wrote to, like, you know, HR, all these things. I went to my boss and I told him, I said, I can't do this anymore. It's disrupting my work day. Now, me and her do have conversations. They are boundaried. It's how's your grandkids? How's your son? How's your day? Ooh, I heard you were sick. We are no longer, we can still speak about those things. But she did confront me. And she said, I cannot believe you went to the boss with this. And I told her why. I said, you're triggering me. You're getting me involved in things I don't want to be involved with. Mm-hmm. And the first conversation she brought that up to, and at the end she said, but I still have this, you know, letter that I wrote. And I was like, nope, here comes my stone wall, my little bricks, when it like Tetris. but she was out sick. And today I did go over to her and I asked her how she was feeling. And it was a very long thing. And I said, look, I got to go, you know, but for that, I sometimes feel like as an ACOA, I think sometimes we find each other and these are untreated ACOAs that I'm dealing with. And they don't like when I mention anything about programs. They get very like, I didn't grow up in a dysfunctional family. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You've said a lot that I would like to comment on.
Okay.
But definitely, we have to be very careful when carrying the message of recovery to other people and make sure that they're receptive to it. So that's a very delicate matter. So I would err on the side of not bringing it up to people.
Yes.
But in terms of what you did with your boss, tell me why you were comfortable telling the truth to your boss, but you were not comfortable telling the truth to her.
Oh, I can't answer that.
Okay. I have a guess because that's called triangulation. All right. So what would we do, right? When we grow up in dysfunctional families, what we do is we triangulate. We don't ever go directly to the person that we have a problem with. We go to someone else. And I had a therapist one time explain this to me. It's like having a two-legged stool. So you want to put another leg there to make it stable because that's what you know from your dysfunctional family, right? Okay. So you were able to say to the boss, I can't get my work done and I'm getting triggered. So in the future, if you encounter a person like this, somebody I saw recently did this. It was beautiful. So people can't see me, but Nancy can. Put your hands in the form of prayer and say to them, listen, I care about you and I'm sorry this is happening. I don't have, and then I put my hands on my chest. I don't have the capacity right now to hear this. I have my own issues and this is really bringing them up for me. That's the God's honest truth. And what you're doing, Nancy, is keeping the focus on yourself. You're not going to the boss and you're not making her the problem. You're saying, I don't have the capacity for this. And it's the truth. And here's the thing about building healthy boundaries. The truth is paramount. Part of the issue when building healthy boundaries is that we're bringing ourselves back into integrity with ourselves. And you can't be in integrity with yourself when you're not telling the truth. So telling the truth, it sets you free. And I know, I remember, I think I actually have an episode about this. I had a sponsee, he and I were talking about this phrase, the truth shall set you free. And we realized only people who've been lying their whole lives know what that means. Because if you've told the truth your whole life, you don't need to be set free. But when you have been making shit up your whole life, like adult children usually do. And even if we're not making stuff up entirely, we embellish or we hold back details and stuff. When we start telling the truth, it's like, oh my God, I don't have to do all this mental and emotional work to try to figure out like what's the right thing to say and keeping track of all these different things. So you've told the truth. And the truth, you know, actually my brother said this to me years ago before he died. And he said, if you don't want to tell the truth, Barb, then you don't want to know God because God is the truth. I was like, damn, wow, that is some truth right there. So the truth will set you free. It may be difficult, but it's going to be difficult if you don't tell the truth. And again, just like the earlier thing I said, you're going to have a finite difficulty, but it's going to end when you tell the truth. Whereas if you don't tell the truth and you drag it out, it's going to be agonizing over time and it's just going to stretch out and be longer and longer and longer. Mm-hmm. So you get to set limits with people. If someone is triggering you, you don't necessarily have to say, I'm triggered. You could say, this is very difficult for me. I feel for you. I'm not the right person to share this with. I'm sorry. I don't have it in me. Please don't take it personally. Right. Maybe it is personal. Right. So maybe don't say that.
That is a good suggestion. And the one that you shared that one on your podcast about, I don't have the capacity to handle this.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Keep the focus on yourself. I mean, I can't say that enough. There's so many ways to keep the focus on yourself. But if you just walk around going, how do I focus on me? How do I focus on me? How do I focus on me?
And I do that.
Right. Because codependents are, we're so focused out there on other people. And then the other thing is that drama triangle. That's what the triangulation is. Do not bring a third party in. And if you ever need to bring a third party in, it should be someone like a therapist or a coach or a sponsor, someone who is not involved in the situation. And then if you need to go back to them again, you go back to that same person. You don't go around asking 15 people what to do about a situation. You want to contain the issue with as few people as possible. Because when you are triangulating, you're gossiping, essentially. So you basically gossiped to your boss because you didn't have the wherewithal to go to her.
I see.
Well, that's all the time that we have, Nancy. Is there
anything else before we go? Yes, that was perfect.
Excellent.
No, I just want to thank you for always being such a great voice and just great power. You give me ideas every day when I listen to you, and I appreciate that.
No, I'm so glad. I am so glad. Well, thank you for being the very first person who was willing to record a live coaching call.
Thank you, Barb.
All right.
Have a great day.
Bye.
If you're ready to finally have an enjoyable, relaxing summer doing things you really want to do instead of always following other people's agendas, I have some openings for private clients right now. If you are really tired of saying yes to things you really don't want to do and being overly accommodating to others, this is for you. It's time to start accommodating yourself. Maybe you're dissatisfied with your relationships and overwhelmed with all kinds of difficult feelings because of your interactions with others. If you'd like to get your life in order before the summer hits, go to barbchat.net and sign up for a free 30-minute call with me about my private coaching so we can get started right away. That way, you'll be done by summer. This is for people who are finally ready to make deep, lasting changes in their relationship patterns, including their relationships with themselves, their partners, family, friends, and colleagues. Go to barbchat.net. If you like this podcast, and I'm guessing you did, or you wouldn't still be listening, then you're gonna love the other things I have to offer. If you'd love pre-release podcast scripts and episodes before anyone else gets them, or if you'd love access to content from my private vault that I developed exclusively for my private clients, which is like having a work session with me without me actually being there, go to patreon.com/higherpowercoaching. There are three tiers ranging from as low as $4 up to $24 a month. You'll also love my weekly newsletter, Friday Fragments, which has content very similar to the podcast. You can check it out at fridayfragments.news. That's fridayfragments.news. Please like and subscribe to my podcast on your favorite podcast outlet. I'd also love it if you'd leave a review, which you can do either in the show notes or on Apple Podcasts. It really helps other people find my podcast so they can get the benefits you've gotten from listening. If someone came to mind when you listened to this particular episode, please share it with them. And my favorite place to hang out on social media is Instagram. I'm at Higher Power Coaching. Please DM me there. I'd love to hear what you got from this episode. I run group and private coaching programs on building healthy boundaries. Whether you need help with boundaries in your personal, professional, or romantic life, I can help. Head on over to barbchat.net, where you can hop onto my calendar for a free 30-minute Better Boundaries consultation. My ideal client is someone who is ripe for change. If that's you, I would love to work with you. My goal with all my work is to help you make lasting changes in your life like I've made deep, lasting changes in my life. Remember, it's never too late to recover. No one is beyond hope, and healing is possible. Thanks for listening.